So throughout this year, we're talking about connecting to God and one another, knowing that our world longs for those kinds of connections. We've been thinking about that in terms of putting that last piece in a jigsaw puzzle. And during this first part of the year, we've been talking about connecting to creation. That's why the choir sang that beautiful hymn about connecting to creation. We're wrapping that up today. We've talked about, in terms of creation, big things, small things, God's creatures as gifts, and our individual selves, our bodies as God's gift. Today we talk about the body of Christ as a gift of God, connected bodies. And the Apostle Paul has something to say about that. We can think of all sorts of images when we think about connected bodies. And the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12 helps us see what it's like when the body that is God's creation works well together. Next Sunday is the first Sunday in Lent, and we move toward connecting to the voice of God within us. So this is a transitional sermon, moving us from the big body back to us again next week. Next week, my seminary is going to be here. They're inaugurating a scholarship in my name, and so we're going to have a kind of time of celebration around that. But today, we finish up this connected bodies with the Word of God from Romans chapter 12.
As Sharon stated, the scripture readings this morning is from Romans chapter 12, and the verses that I will be reading this morning will be 3 to 13. It'll also be found, if you would wish to follow along, in the New Testament, the Bible, on page 162. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with other judgment, each according to the measure of faith, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually, we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy, in proposition, to faith, transmission, in ministering, the teaching, in teaching, the exhorter, in exhortation, the giver, in generosity, the leader, in diligence, the compassionate, in cheerfulness. Let thy love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in honor, in showing honor. Do not lag and be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. Open our hearts, O God, to hear your word in new ways. Amen. So I wanted to make an observation that I hope you find interesting. There's something that's been very interesting to watch over the last few weeks here. Our long-term practice here at St. Mark's at the end of worship has been to join hands with each other, even across the aisles, which is a good example for our country nowadays, isn't it, to join hands across the aisle, and sing our closing blessing, Shalom. A few weeks ago, because of the viciousness of this year's flu season, I suggested that we not join hands for right now, but just look around and sing. And so a lot of people have appreciated the spirit of that, to avoid spreading germs, and some of you just really have appreciated that and like that. But many of you, as I've observed, have found ways to connect anyway, by locking elbows or shoulders or hand-holding anyway, and I guess that's your choice. Something in us longs to connect with others. Not all the time or everyone all the time. We are made by God to connect with each other, though, to make eye contact, to talk and laugh and sing and dance and love and wrestle with and live out our faith together. Part of being created by God is to be connected to others. Of course, not all of our connections are always positive or life-giving. We know, we acknowledge that. But something in most of us, at least sometimes, finds joy in sharing life with another or with others. In our culture, in fact, when we think about a lone ranger, we sometimes feel sadness for that person, or we even feel suspicious nowadays. Now, one of the ways that we understand this best is through the teams that we're part of or watch or follow. Teams of people work together or play together around a common purpose, like sports teams. They have a common purpose, don't they? Their purpose is to win, right? Or military teams, people who train in the military. The team is to protect or sometimes to capture or to win. In scouts, the team is to develop character, to earn badges, to complete projects. Some of you have work teams, teams at the places where you work to complete a project or increase profits. How about dance teams to create a thing of beauty? Or choirs to put music into the world? Or teachers work together? And right now we are captivated on our televisions by Olympic teams. They get individual recognition, but team medals. We're in the medal competition, right? So we are so often better together because we are not just solo creations. Here's some things we know about teams. Now, this is not true for all teams all the time, but general principles or understandings. On a team, everybody has a part, and that part needs to be respected by other people. When one or two people on a team feel compelled to be stars, we might like to watch them or be them, but truly a team works better when everyone's part is appreciated. Second thing, there's usually a leader on a team. Not one who's seeking his or her own glory, but somebody who has the gifts to lead and uses them to inspire or to rally, to bring skills together. Different kinds of leadership are needed at different times for teams. The third thing is that the character of each person on a team is at least as important as their skills. You think about that. Are they honest? Are they committed to the purpose? Are they willing to set aside their own ambitions? Are they appreciative of the gifts of others? Are they compassionate and caring of teammates? Are they humble? And the fourth thing is, teams and the people on them can grow and learn and get better, all the while working for a common purpose. Now, the Apostle Paul knew these things. Now, he probably didn't have training or education in team building or leadership development. But he knew that in order to achieve a purpose, people needed to work together as a team. This letter to the Romans, the church in Rome, was written at the height of the Apostle Paul's career, sometime between 54 and 58 AD. He writes to the church in Rome ahead of visiting there. He's hoping to visit there. That church had been established by other people. But he wanted to go there, and then his ambition was to go even further beyond Rome. And Paul was always very clear about his purpose. It was not for him to be a star or to stomp on others or even win in the sense of defeating somebody else. His purpose was to tell about Jesus, about what God had done for him in Jesus, and about what that could do for others. His purpose was to let others know about the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and Paul was single-minded about it. And he knew from first-hand experience that lives could be changed because his was changed. It was made better, with more joy, more peace, more purpose than ever before. And he wanted as many people as possible, as quickly as possible, to have the chance to know this Jesus who had saved him from a life of destruction, and he wanted other people to know that too. So God helped Paul create teams of people to help him do that. A church here, a group there, a gathering of followers all around the Mediterranean world in the 40s and 50s up to the 60s, right after Jesus. And when they got off track, as they did, or when he needed to encourage or build them up or he needed help, Paul wrote letters like this one to the church in Rome. And here's what he wrote to them about. He wrote to them about being humble. He wrote to them about being one body with different gifts, appreciating the gifts of each one. He wrote to them about love and zeal and rejoicing in hope and being patient in suffering and about persevering in prayer. He knew that churches were creations of God, teams of people who were committed to knowing Jesus and helping others do that too. Whether or not you know it, you're part of Jesus' team too. And you don't even have to make the team. Whether or not you know it, you're part of Jesus' team, a beloved creation of God, individually and all together. Our purpose here at St. Mark's is reflected in our mission statement, changing the world through Christ by caring for all people. Our purpose is to know and help others know about the love and the power of Jesus Christ, to change the world through him by caring for all God's people. As I was watching the opening ceremonies of the Olympic Games in Pyeongchang on Friday night, I was most captivated by the dancers. I love those watching those dancers who moved individually and together to create something moving and beautiful. And I thought, that's what our church is like. A great dance of love for Jesus. Think of all the teams within the larger team that work here to do that, to help us work on our purpose. Think about worship alone. Think about our ushers. Think about our liturgists, our choirs. Think about our greeters. There's all kinds of people behind the scenes too, you know. People who do our altars. People who count your money on the days after worship. All kinds of teams within a team to help us know more about the love of Jesus and spread that. Think about all the classes, about missions, about how our staff works together, about our caring ministries, and think about how we work together through prayer, prayer, prayer. Because team is not just doing, but it's being with one another and with God to learn and grow deeper in knowledge and love of Christ so that we can dance that to the world, a world that desperately needs to hear good news. The Apostle Paul would ask us about our teams within a team and our big team. Are you people of character while you do this work for Jesus? Are you humble? For by the grace given to me, Paul says, I say to everyone among you to not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. It's tempting, isn't it? To think of ourselves more highly than we ought. And Paul asks us to remember to be humble. He says, are you respectful of everyone and their gifts? For as one body, we have many members, but everyone has a part in it. He asks us, are you practicing compassion and care? Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil and hold fast to what is good. There's lots of smaller teams here, lots and lots of them, and more all the time. We're part of this larger team that is this creation of God, that is our church, this great dance for Jesus, and you don't need to make the team. You are part of this body of Christ. The team isn't perfect. I don't know any human team that is. So sometimes we don't do it exactly right, but mostly we're deeply committed to being connected to God and one another. I think about what a privilege it is to be part of this team, this dance, here at St. Mark's. Today we've recognized scouting, and we have a team story here that connects us and scouting and some of our young people. Now, we've had many young people here at St. Mark's who have worked on Eagle Scout projects or Girl Scout Gold Awards or the American Heritage Stars and Stripes. All those are the highest awards that you can get in scouting. Everyone has discovered that it takes a team with them as leaders to pull off a project. Caroline Fish remodeled the early childhood resource room as for her Stars and Stripes Award, completed it about a year ago. First, she had to build a team and secure the funding and develop the plan for the project and then get the people there. And they all worked together to create this beautiful resource room that now is available there. And Nick Hiratsuka, one of our young people, did an unusual Eagle Scout project. Nick is very interested in filmmaking. He goes to college next year to study that. And so he wanted to do a film with St. Mark's as his sponsor to address the issue of cyberbullying. Online bullying, or through social media, bullying by young people to young people. So Nick did all the steps. He built a team of actors and writers and editors. He got the funding. He worked with our trustees and our staff and his youth leaders. And he did a project that is now nationally recognized, as is Nick, by the United Methodist Church. And we, the body of Christ, the dance that is St. Mark's, have helped him do that. It became a dance of Nick and his project with this church, this creation of God, working together to bring good news to the world. As we wrap up this series on connecting to creation, I wanted you to see a bit of this project because you, by supporting and lifting up our young people, Nick and so many others, make God's love known in Jesus Christ more fully in our community and our world. Thanks for being part of that team. These young people teach and inspire us so. So this is our lead-in to prayer today.